This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7.30, 6am, Tuesday the 30th of June. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where Shaning speaks with Adzim Halim, country head of Ninja Van Malaysia.
Right, yeah. So the e-commerce business has surged in Malaysia as we've all been basically confined to our homes and we've had to look online to get basically everything. And delivery services have had to rise to the occasion. So we're going to be talking, I think Shaning's going to be asking the questions here about how Ninja Van, a startup career and logistics company, navigated this challenge, especially considering that COVID-19, it had its challenges for delivery players and it's already such a competitive industry. Definitely something to keep in mind. And that's happening in half an hour or 20 minutes at this point.
Yes, sir. After the 8 o'clock news bulletin, so be sure to stay tuned. But right now we're taking a look at the international stage because Israel appears to be moving ahead with a controversial plan to annex a portion of the occupied West Bank in Palestine. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that this is done in line with U.S. President Donald Trump's Middle East plan. He plans to annex over 30% of the occupied West Bank territories, including parts of the strategic Jordan Valley.
Yeah, so the Jordan Valley seems to be militarily important to Israel. So Israel and Palestine have been asserting rights over this area, right, for decades to come. And so now Israel, with the support of U.S., is trying to annex the state, proclaiming its sovereignty over this territory. So, you know, it does bring the attention back to the Middle East, right? The discussions around this. And also as we are heading towards the US elections, I think, you know, Trump probably wants to get this deal done as soon as possible.
So for some insight this morning, we're speaking with James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, James. Now, can you comment on the legality of this move of Israel applying sovereignty to these settlements? Because, I mean, isn't it illegal under international law?
Pleasure to be with you. It is. The West Bank and the Gaza Strip have been viewed by international law. Numerous UN Security Council resolutions as occupied territory. The Israelis and the Palestinians have, in principle, legally agreed under the Oslo Accords that there would be a two-state solution, a Palestinian state alongside the state of Israel. The settlements, the Israeli settlements on occupied territory, were always viewed as illegal. And obviously any annexation, whether that's East Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, or now parts of the West Bank, is under international law illegal. The problem is that international law does not matter. And increasingly we live in a world in which the principle is might is right. And Israel has, in principle, the backing of the United States to annex parts of the West Bank, and therefore, in practice, it could do so.
So, James, with that in mind, what bearing does Trump's Middle East plan have on actual peace talk efforts between Israel and Palestine?
There are no peace talks, as simple as that. And there have been no peace talks under Trump. With other words, Trump has, to the degree that he has a policy, it's a very simple policy. Back Bibi Netanyahu, back Mohammed bin Salman, and counter Iran. And anything else and everything else does not count. So the Palestinians, and one can argue whether right or wrong, have essentially disengaged. They have, the Trump administration started to pressure the Palestinians by closing down the Palestine Authority's office in Washington, by defunding the UN organization that helps Palestinian refugees, although one can raise questions about that organization, legitimate questions, and by basically saying, I'm backing Netanyahu. Trump has consistently done what Netanyahu wanted, including annexation of recognizing Jerusalem, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing Israeli annexation of the Golan Heights, which were captured from Syria in 1967, and backing Israeli policies on the West Bank.
international law does not apply, like what you say, might is right, and Israel has the US's support. So what would be Palestine's best course of action going forward?
Well, the problem is the Palestinians are up a creek, of course. They are on their own. They don't have official, that is, government Arab support in real terms rather than in verbal terms. We'll see whether or not there is popular unrest. I think the way to look at this is not how the Palestinians immediately react, which they may or may not. There'll certainly be an outcry. But what this does long-term, and long-term, this is a formula for more problems. It's not a formula for a resolution of the conflict. And we've seen, I mean, look at Black Lives America, whatever one thinks of it, Black Lives Matter, whatever one thinks of it, it's the explosion of a grievance that goes back 400 years.
So what has the response been like from the international community, particularly the Arab states? Does this hold any sway over Israel's actions?
Well, I think that you need to look at various parts of the international community. Arab states, you need to divide into two. The Gulf states have condemned the act, but made clear that it's business as usual. Countries like Jordan that are most affected, Jordan borders on the West Bank, at least half of its population is of Palestinian origin, and fears for its own domestic stability as a result of this, has been very vocal in condemning any Israeli move, and this could affect the peace treaty that Jordan has, and Jordan is only one of two Arab countries that have a peace treaty with Israel. That's one circle. The second circle is the broader Muslim world. And I think that you could see more protest in non-Arab countries. Think of Malaysia, where the Palestinian issue lives, and where you are. Think of Pakistan. There are other countries. And then there are the Chinese, the Russians, which will definitely condemn this, may not necessarily add a penalty to their condemnation. And the question is how the Europeans will react. The Europeans have been very vocal about it. And you could see European action against the Israelis. And that, of course, on the one hand, the Israelis in some ways have written off the Europeans because they've been long critical of Israeli policies. But on the other hand, Europe's an important factor for the Israelis.
So, James, what are the implications of this going forward? I mean, I know you already talked about how there are essentially no peace talks, but does this mean that, does this effectively mean that the two-state solution is over?
It does. Obviously, look, under the two-state solution and under the negotiations that were conducted, the West Bank essentially would have become Palestinian. Israeli security concerns would have been addressed, and there may have been some degree of land swaps. And one of the issues, of course, always was what is going to be the status of Israeli settlements on Palestinian territory. Once you start annexing significant portions of land, and 30% is a significant portion, there's not much left for a two-state solution. And so then this puts Israel in a dilemma. Because if it wants to be a democracy, it would have to give Palestinians equal rights. Over time, that means that Israel probably no longer would be a Jewish state because the Palestinians would be a very substantial minority. And if they annexed the whole West Bank, they could be a majority of the Israeli population. And if you don't give equal rights, then obviously you're creating a state that has in and of itself contradictions built into it that are not sustainable.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, James. And that was James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute, highlighting what a powder cake the West Bank is turning out to be once again. Because I think there are also questions over whether Benjamin Netanyahu is pushing this through because of the U.S. elections coming up in November, just in case Trump doesn't win a second term in the White House.
Yeah, so I think the Palestinians want the whole of the West Bank. Otherwise, the annexation leaves Palestinian areas quite fragmented and it's very complex, right? So I think Joe Biden is against the annexation. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe the West Palestine's best option is to keep pushing back until the U.S. elections, and hopefully if Joe Biden wins, they will neutralize U.S.'s support for Israel.
But then if Joe Biden doesn't win, then the Palestinians, as James Dorsey says, is even more up the creek. But right now we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with John Paul Best, Managing Director of Nielsen Media Malaysia, on how the virus has affected the media industry and ad spend. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.